From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues the seventh and last of a series of messages on the I Am statements of Christ as found in the Gospel of John. On seven occasions in this Gospel, the Lord Jesus used of Himself that name which belongs to God alone, I Am. The text before us is found in chapter 15, verse 1, and the opening part of verse 5, where the Lord Jesus said, I am the true vine. This had special significance for His audience at the time, for the Old Testament represents the vine as a symbol of Israel. The nation was an imperfect type of Christ, who is the true vine, from whom all true believers derive life. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns continues to address Christ's fitness to be the true vine. Christ's fitness as the true vine derives first from His unique person, for no one but God could honestly declare Himself to be the source of life. Yet Christ in His incarnation placed Himself under the laws of nature, which He Himself had established. Furthermore, Christ had a unique perfection, for as the virgin-born Son of God, He was sinless. Only a sin offering without blemish could satisfy God's righteous demands. Dr. Cairns will bring the next portion of this message in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to a devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook, a collection from the pen of the great 19th century preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Today's devotional is entitled, Holy Fear. The text is Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 13. He that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Holy awe of God's word is at a great discount. Men think themselves wiser than the word of the Lord, and sit in judgment upon it. So did not I, because of the fear of God. We accept the inspired book as infallible, and prove our esteem by our obedience. We have no terror of the word, but we have a filial awe of it. We are not in fear of its penalties, because we have a fear of its commands. This holy fear of the commandment produces the restfulness of humility, which is far sweeter than the recklessness of pride. It becomes a guide to us in our movements, a drag when we are going downhill, and a stimulus when we are climbing it. Preserved from evil and led into righteousness by our reverence of the command, we gain a quiet conscience, which is a well of wine, a sense of freedom from responsibility, which is as life from the dead, and a confidence of pleasing God, which is heaven below. The ungodly may ridicule our deep reverence for the word of the Lord, but what of that? The prize of our high calling is a sufficient consolation for us. The rewards of obedience make us scorn the scorning of the scorner.
Come and worship the Lord, and exalt and praise His name. Maker of earth and sky and sea, giver of life and liberty. Oh, come and worship the Lord. His mercy is great, He is near to those who call. He is slow to anger, and His goodness is long. His majesty and glory are seen in His creation.
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We continue to receive encouraging response to these broadcasts, and we want you to know that we're very grateful to those of you who take the time to contact us. Among the various publications which we offer on these programs, the most popular is the quarterly LTBS magazine. The principal focus of the current issue is The Life of Elijah. The articles include Power Through Prayer, Called to Carmel, and Deliverance from Despondency. Also, this issue contains a missionary focus on the nation of Germany, as well as a challenge to Christian women on the widely neglected matter of modesty. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Alan Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, can you be sure you're saved? How to deal with cults? And can women be pastors? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Notice the words again. I am the vine. And that statement proves this unique person of Christ by uniting two very, very different and diverse ideas. I'm not going to repeat what we have covered in past weeks, but the I Am is the title of deity. This is the great name that Jehovah gave for himself when he was speaking to Moses at the burning bush. This is the name that the Lord Jesus appropriated and said was true of himself. You remember he said, before Abraham was, I am. This is his declaration of deity. And in this text that we have before us this morning, you can see it clearly established. You see, none but God can honestly claim to be the source of life. None but God can claim to be the sustenance and the strength of life in his people. None but God can set himself forth as the one upon whom his people are entirely dependent for life, for vigor, for salvation. So when Jesus says, I am the true vine, the I am is emphasizing his deity. Now, the vine, on the other hand, is a symbol of extreme weakness. Not only a symbol of extreme weakness, but apart from its fruitfulness, the vine is a symbol of worthlessness. If you turn to Ezekiel chapter 15, you have in the opening verses a striking passage. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, and remember this was his message really to Judah, what is the vine tree more than any tree? This vine that was the symbol of Israel and Judah, this symbol in which they boasted, this special relationship that they proudly proclaimed. He says, what is the vine tree more than any tree, or than a branch which is among the trees of the forest? Now here's its weakness and worthlessness. Shall wood be taken thereof to do any work? Do you ever see a dresser made from the wood of the vine? Do you ever see a table made from the wood of a vine? You couldn't make the leg of a chair from the wood of the vine. Shall wood be taken thereof to do any work? Or will man take a pin of it to hang any vessel thereon? Now here we're getting down to weakness. You couldn't even hang your coat on a pin. Men think so little of it, they wouldn't even make the pin for a coat rack from the wood of the vine. Behold, it is cast into the fire for fuel. The fire devoureth both the ends of it, and the midst of it is burned. Is it meet for any work? Behold, when it was whole, it was meet for no work. How much less shall it be meet yet for any work, when the fire hath devoured it, and it is burned? Now this is the symbol the Lord chooses for himself. Put these two things together. I am. The statement of eternal absolute deity. The vine, speaking of human weakness and worthlessness. Now on the face of it, that's a most unexpected metaphor to place alongside the great I am. And yet it's a glorious conjunction of thoughts. Again, you see, as in all the other I am statements, the fundamental idea is the idea of the incarnation. You remember what Paul tells us in Hebrews 2? In the Authorized Version translation, it beautifully puts it, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. The Lord Jesus, as Paul puts it in Romans chapter 8, verse 3, he was manifested, he was made known to us, what? As what? As a great and mighty angel? No. As a celestial being with some celestial body? No. But in flesh, in the likeness even of sinful flesh. Now, it wasn't in his case sinful flesh, but what Paul is emphasizing is that when the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, took upon himself to be our Savior, he did so by God uniting himself to a true humanity, so that the Lord Jesus, the God of heaven, the creator of the ends of the earth, the upholder of all things, even while he was on earth, his deity was still upholding the whole fabric of the creation which he had made. But the great God united himself to human nature in all its weakness. He humbled himself deliberately, making himself of no account. He placed himself not only under the law, which was humiliation enough for the lawgiver, but he placed himself under all what we would call the laws of nature, unless he did a miracle. But in his own life, he placed himself under all the laws of nature. For example, he was in one place at one time, but yet he's the omnipresent God. He was weary with his journey, just as any man would be weary with his journey, yet he is the omnipotent God. When he was crucified, Paul tells us he was crucified in weakness. Here is the great I Am. He says, I am the vine. I am deity. But I have taken into union with my deity, in the miracle of the incarnation, a true humanity. And I've humbled myself to do it. And that is what fits him to be our Savior. Let me make this clear to you. In the economy of Scripture and salvation revealed therein, unincarnate deity does not save guilty sinners. Unincarnate deity is the judge and the destroyer of ungodly wretches. But by the action of divine love, God the Son, without ceasing to be all that he ever was as God, came down to earth to the depths of humiliation and shame. He was made of a woman. He was made under the law to redeem us who were under the law. His fitness was founded upon his unique person, God to satisfy God, and as an equal with God to touch the throne. Man to lay his hand upon us and reconcile God and man in himself, in his own body, on the tree. Thank God, his unique person fitted him to be our Savior. But that fitness was founded also upon his unique perfection. Notice he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Now sit up, all of you who are called George. People who are called George in England have a right to say that they have a right royal name. There have been six Georges upon the throne of England. But you know, you have a greater claim to fame than that. I see George looking up here very interestedly. He's now about to put in for a special raise. The word husbandman, the Greek term, if you put it in English, simply says George. That's what it is. That's where we get the word George. And it means, this will bring you down to earth, it means a farmer. But you don't normally talk about a farmer, in at least as we think of it, a farmer dressing the vines. So in this connection, it really indicates the proprietor, the planter, the cultivator, the vine dresser. And what the Lord Jesus is saying here is, in all things connected with my office and my work as the vine, the Father is the proprietor, the Father is the planter, and all that I do according to His will, and I do by His power, by His wisdom, and for His glory. Now, I'm not going to take the time to follow that line of thought out in any detail, but it will emphasize to you the moral and absolute perfection and obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. In His eternal decree, the great vine dresser, the great planter, the great proprietor, the cultivator, if you wish, in His eternal decree, God appointed His Son. In the fullness of time, He sent forth His Son. In other words, He planted Him. And that's not, I think, just merely imaginative language. If you go back to Isaiah 53, you'll find that there is very similar language that the Lord is using concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. He planted Him. Many of the old Jewish commentators take the part of the 80th Psalm that we were reading this morning, where God had set aside and appointed a branch for Himself and made it strong. They take that to be a reference to the Messiah, who is later mentioned when the psalmist is pleading in the 80th Psalm that the Lord will look upon the man of His right hand. So here you have Him planting Him in the earth. That's the virgin birth. He then furnished Him with all the gifts and graces that were needed for His work on earth. And He undertook to make the work of His Son, the vine, completely fruitful. And through all this, the reaction of the Son of God was to humble Himself, to be the servant of Jehovah, and to obey the Father's will completely. You remember how Paul puts it in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8? Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience. You see, to us, it's because, and maybe I should stop off here and give a family sermon for a minute or two. Because you are a son or a daughter, you obey. Now that's a wee bit old-fashioned. It's a wee bit out of kilter with the thinking of today. In this youth-oriented society, when, to use the words of a fairly famous work of about 20, 25 years ago, people are amusing themselves to death. When young people can think of nothing, and I'm obviously generalizing here, nothing, unless it's conveyed by the medium of the stupid and filthy music of the world. When they'd rather stick a cell phone to their ear than spend 5 minutes listening to the wisdom of their parents. In a day like this, what I'm saying is completely out of line with most people's thinking. But I'm telling you what the Bible teaches. Because you are a son, you obey.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.